no better person to talk to here on a Spotlight 7 on Long Island, Martin Kanner. He is CPA Director, Long Island Center for Socioeconomic Policy. Economics extraordinaire. Nobody wants to have a conversation that better to have with Marty Kanter on this. Always a welcomed addition, by the way, on your LI News Radio morning show. And we say good morning. Hey, Marty, how are you?
I'm great, Jay. How are you?
I am doing very well, sir. Very well, sir. Thanks for answering the call. I wanted to get you on regarding the mid-year sales tax revenue across the island. Some of the numbers we saw. You made a great point, by the way. I was talking to Marty yesterday via some emails, and, you know, it's interesting. You're right. I almost forgot about it. You know, the situation of Nassau, Marty, the PGA, we saw the U.S. Open there. Bethpage Black running a lot of money. I don't know what everybody's crying the blues over. I mean, if you're making, you know, $100 million or so during a four-day stretch or whatever it was, you know, whatever the numbers it was, what are you complaining about? You're right, as far as the county executive. We're going to have to bring that up to Laura Kern in her monthly spot at the end of the month, but you're right. Good point yesterday.
Well, you know, when I saw the numbers come out, I said, wow. First of all, when Laura Curran said that the region would make $100 million economic impact because another region that hosted the PGA did, I thought that was really over hyperbole, if you will, on it. Yes, would the region benefit from the PGA? Of course. You know, we fill up the hotels and the restaurants, but a lot of the visitors who come, you know, bring their own food or their own water, and they don't, very few stay around to visit the restaurants. The money comes from the PGA Tour professionals and the staff. I just have a real problem even thinking it comes close to $100 million. But the other thing is, even if it did, the fact that Nassau County's sales tax revenues, the percent increase is half that of Suffolk's, and it fell below expectations. Then, if you take out the sales tax from the PGA sales tax from the total sales tax, Nassau's got a real problem in terms of meeting sales tax expectations, and Nassau has a real problem in terms of people spending in the county and its economic impact and economic growth, rather. So, you know, that was my takeaway from it.
Now you're right, 100%, no question. Well done, Marty Kanter with us. Let's get into the Suffolk revenue situation. The increase, Marty, 3.83. These, according to the quarterly adjusted sales tax checks received by the counties, from the state, all the figures reported, I guess, last Friday. What do you attribute the revenue growth in Suffolk to mainly here, Marty?
Well, you know, I was surprised because I started to dig into the numbers because it's been intriguing me since the first quarter came out that Suffolk was better than Nassau. And the second one, you know, the old expression, once it's an instance, twice it's, it's a coincidence, and three times it's a trend. Well, you know, we're now at the coincidence point, and I think we're going to be trending that Suffolk, in terms of percent growth in sales tax revenues. And by the way, that both counties had reasonable increase in sales tax expectations. They weren't crazy. You know, 3%, 2%. I mean, so, you know, we're not talking about a lot of money in terms of a bar to set. But when I took a look at the numbers, you know, Suffolk, the first thing that jumped out at me was that Suffolk County has about 62,000 more workers, people employed, than Nassau. While the total workforce is about the same, about 1.4 million, Suffolk County has 755,900 people employed, whereas Nassau is only 690,700. That's a big difference. Big difference in consumers, and most people, and especially in Suffolk, most of the workforce is local, whereas a lot of the workforce in Nassau commutes into the city, and especially, you know, younger folks who have. You know, when you get older and you're a baby boomer, you spend your money on different things. You know, it's not high-tech fashions. It's not electronics. you know, it's not going out to eat as much and entertaining. Whereas millennials, the younger people, spend a lot of money on gizmos and entertainment and things like that. And the question is, where do they spend the money? You know, I would offer that a lot of the Nassau County young people who commute for higher-paying jobs in the city, because that is where the high-paying jobs are, they're spending their recreation dollars in the city, impacting Nassau County's sales tax collections for its restaurants and entertainment. And the other thing is, you know, it's tourism season. And Suffolk County is tourism, you know, the beaches and the Hamptons and things like that. Whereas Nassau County, while it does have some tourist venues, you know, it doesn't have the type of tourism that you know, that Nassau has. I mean, excepting Jones Beach, of course. But so I think those are the three things. The other thing that also got to me was house sales. You know, that's a real barometer of economic activity. They're up 8.2% in Suffolk and only 5.2% in Nassau. So people are spending more money in homes and rather buying more homes in Suffolk. And you, anybody who's bought a home knows that when you go in there, you got to replace the durables, the washing machine, the dishwasher, the clothes dryer, things like that. All those are taxable for sales tax. And the last point, not to beleaguer you with percentages, but the last point is home sales themselves recently are up 6.7% in Suffolk and down 2.6% in Nassau. You know, that's not a good thing. So what you're finding is that it looks like, you know, Nassau County's economy is kind of struggling a bit, whereas Suffolk is apparently doing much better.
Marty Cannon with us. Now, a couple of things. Marty, I just want to intervene with a very important announcement. I wanted to bring this to light a little bit later in the program. And Tom, on the midday, kind of touched upon it a little bit. Today, around 9:30 or so, you will have an announcement. I guess the unsealing, I hate to bring this news. Certainly, Suffolk doesn't need this. The unsealing of an indictment against an elected official in connection, I guess you can put it as far as an ethics investigation. Let's put it that way. I'm going to have more on this all throughout the morning. Tom's going to have a ton of it on his show beginning at 12:15. I just wanted to bring everybody up to speed as far as, you know, what we have investigated on our own here at LI News Radio without bringing names presently into the mix until it becomes official. But I want to let everybody know that there will be the unsealing of an indictment, the DA and everything else, Tim Sini, the investigation. It's an ethics investigation against an elected official of Suffolk County. Like, we need that like a hole in the head at this point in time. But anyway, latest there. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I was going to say, never a dull moment, you know?
Never a dull moment. We uncovered it first here at LI News Radio. Tom brought it to light towards the end of his show yesterday. Did a great job. He's going to have a lot more to say on it today. I'm going to visit his show a little bit too, and we'll see if we get some people on. But I knew this was, you know, it's funny when you have these types of stories, you know, you corroborate information and everything else. You got to make sure sources, the whole thing, triple, quadruple check the whole thing. You got to make sure. And, you know, I was pretty sure to make the announcement today. As far as what the indictment will cover, some sort of an ethics thing as far as a county official. And we'll get into this a little bit later on. Now, we get back to Marty Cantor. We're going to bring that to the table as far as
word. Who is not under the cloud of an ethics investigation.
I'm telling you, unbelievable. You're right. Marty does everything right. Now, Marty, here's what bothers me. You know, listen, I can't go gaga over Suffolk County and the increase in revenue and everything else. You know, I look at the entire picture. You tell me if I'm wrong. You know, I look at the fact that, you know, you still have required debt service payments. I think it's $70 million plus this year. To me, that's going to eat up most of the projected increase in sales tax revenue. So that's number one. It's a wash. I look at the county as far as debt, which is what? $900 million plus over the past 10 years for operating expenses. You know, you're talking folks' salaries. You're talking pensions. You know, you're talking and repayment is taking a chunk out of the county budget. We know that. So I look at everything involved here, and that's why, you know, if you peel away the onion, okay, you can't get too crazy over this. You know, there's a lot of factors that go into this whole thing. Debt service payments eating up most of this projected sales tax revenue, the increases at least. Do you think I'm wrong when I say that?
Oh, no. I mean, in fact, the increase in sales tax revenues, the percent increase, is just a rounding error when it comes to the size of the debt. You know, we're talking about two different things here. We're talking about sales tax revenues, which kind of suggest that there's more economic activity happening in Suffolk than Nassau. But when you come down to your issues, you're absolutely right. Nassau, which is struggling to get out from underneath all the debt it has accumulated from its assessment system and the certiorari, which are over $1 billion of its outstanding debt. This is not good news, only because there's not enough. You know, it's not bringing in additional sales tax revenues to reduce that, and there hasn't been any structural change in Nassau's employee structure and how it runs its government. And the same can be said true for Suffolk in greater terms, and you are absolutely correct. Suffolk lost a lawsuit where it now has to give back $29 million it borrowed from the sewer fund to balance its budget, and that adds another $29 million it's got to find. And there has not been any significant restructuring of Suffolk County government. You know, what's really interesting to me, in Westbury, they're coming up with a rezoning plan for the village. And the mayor, Peter Cavallaro, who I know, and he's a really good public official, he said this is not the Westbury of the 1950s. And we have to, you know, we should keep our community, you know, flavor and feeling, but we have to take a look at if we're keeping up with this century, and so I would ask the same question to both county executives. You know, what are you doing to make Suffolk County government, Nassau County government, and the cost of government more reflective of the 2020s, rather than operating on the same structural paradigm that we did when the counties were established? I mean, they haven't done anything to do this, and they just keep on kicking the can down the road and just making the public employees happy with contracts and things, which the taxpayers have to pay. And I'm not begrudging any employee from making the best dollar they can make in terms, but you know, this is not the public sector. This is not the private sector where you go and sell your goods and services and skills to try to get the biggest salary you get. This is wages granted by a public official who's facing re-election. And at times you just wonder, who are they working for, their own reelection or the taxpayers for paying, you know, for a lot of employees. So you are right. I mean, there has not been any kind of really pirate meets the road kind of restructuring to reduce the cost of government and start paying down that debt.
No doubt. Marty Cannon with us, you know, and again, you know, you don't want to pile on here, folks. Listen, it's good to see numbers and increases in sales tax. Listen, I get it. But, you know, again, you peel away that proverbial onion. You know, you look at the cost of living. The potholes finally fixed, $7 million, thank goodness. I get it. General fund property tax somewhat flat. You look at the increased fees, $100 million or so. You know, I look at the parks fees, Marty, the burglar alarm fees, the vehicle registration fees, the mortgage fees, the red light camera nonsense. You know, the $250,000 study performed 60% increase. Disband the program already. You know, they I understand they got to get a stream in, $30 million or so. It's accounted for. You know, forget the charity. And please, can we put the charitable contribution thing away? My goodness. I got to see Chuck Schumer in front of another camera yesterday, Monty Cantor. I mean, come on. IRS said that's a no-no. That's a no-no.
I can't help but agree with you. I mean, I am tired of seeing Chuck Schumer coming up with ideas that will never pass, in effect to prop up, you know, his Democratic allies. The real point is we would need a charitable contribution gimmick if our property taxes were lower and they fell below the 10,000 threshold. But our property taxes are higher. Schools keep on raising money. They complain when they can only raise taxes 2% because that's the cap. And New York State keeps on pouring money into the education system, and it's our money. So I listen. I'm the first one to say we should. They should not be. And the question I also ask is, why are there 8% of our school districts on Long Island when we pay are underfunded, and children are not getting the basic sound education to meet the state constitution standards, and we still pay so much for school taxes. I mean, to me, it's absurd that everybody wants to throw more money onto bad systems than actually biting the bullet. But that's the problem. There's no courage in elected officials anymore. They're all looking to get reelected, and that's their goal. And I'm wondering if you talk about ethics investigation. I wonder if where's the ethics that elected officials care more about getting votes and getting reelected and using 10-second sound bites than reducing the cost of living on Long Island? To me, we pay the highest energy costs. We pay the highest property taxes. It costs like crazy to live out here, nothing's done to help the taxpayer. And please don't tell me that they made the 2% tax cap permanent to help taxpayers. We should be, school districts should be held their feet to the fire, say, make out with the money you got, and let's try to restructure how you do things. You know, let's consolidate schools. Let's get rid of the administrators that we pay so much for that we don't need. You know, nobody's doing that because that takes courage, and that's what we lack here, in government lately.
And I'll say this, final thought here on my end, Marty Cantor, and the fact that, you look at $100 million annual deficit, $2 billion in debt, bond ratings in the turlet, at 7 now, going on 8, junk bond status? Yep. I mean, are you there yet? You ask yourself, is there a way out of this mess? Now, listen, we know it's a wonderful place to live. It's a wonderful place to raise a family. But quite frankly, it's driving folks away. They're not affordable. It's unaffordable. And it's getting to that point where people are really feeling it. People are tired of a paycheck going here, there, and everywhere.
Right. And this point here is we were on a trip to China recently, and we met a woman from Austin, Texas, and she said to me that 150 people a day are flocking to Austin, Texas to call it home, whereas on Long Island, and in particular in Suffolk County, we've lost 4,000 people in 1 year. I mean, so we are losing people. They're going to Austin, and we're losing young people. We educate them for, arguably 24,000. We spend about $250,000 to educate our kids. And these kids are taking that education and benefiting some other region in the country. We should wake up and realize that we're not making it easier for young people to stay here and to contribute here. And all this transit-oriented development, which is a wonderful thing, and young kids, rent those apartments. But the rents are getting exorbitant, and the costs are getting exorbitant. And so after the first lease is up, they're out of here. And so you are totally right. It's a wonderful place to live, and I love living here, raised 3 kids here. But, man, it is getting harder and harder for young people to stay here. And I mentioned young people. I mean, the seniors are finding it hard to stay here also. But the young people are our future workforce. And if we don't keep them here, then who's going to work the Long Island economy so that everybody else can live, retire, and stay here? So I think it's a bigger problem. And you're right, the sales tax revenues are one blip, and it shows one aspect of the economy. But when you take it in its totality, it doesn't bode well. And there are sales tax revenues are about one third of the total budget. The rest of federal aid, state aid, and property taxes are the least, in Suffolk. So, but we get fee to death, every time you turn around, you find a government official with their hand in your pocket for another fee, and that's got to stop also. But it won't be because they don't want to raise the property taxes, but they'll raise fees. I mean, property taxes, fees, the same thing. You're just changing the word. So you are absolutely right, Jay.
Well, we'll see what happens. Marty, always a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk soon. Marty, of course, leads the way, the director of socioeconomic policy as far as the island is concerned, and knows his business like no one other. Like no other, no question. Always a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Well, thank you so much, Jay. I'll be happy to join you anytime.
Excellent. Marty Cantor, the great Marty Cantor.